Danny, Rana, thank you very much for the confirmation. Love it when the Lord does that. In speaking to her and just confirming that the Lord is saying to us this year, Jesus is enough. And you might think, oh, okay, cool. What is it? But it is really so packed and impactful, and I believe we're going to take quite a while just to unpack that. But it's maybe a one-liner or one sentence or a hashtag, if you may, that we can brand on our hearts this year. Then whenever you feel downcast or distraught, whenever you're fearful, whenever you come to church, whenever you connect, whenever you have a quiet time, whenever you as a family connect, constantly to test what you're doing, your heart as well, with this truth that Jesus alone is enough. And I want to encourage you to explore that. Just as we just said, we're not going to settle. Say, Christ, I've seen something of you. I might think I have a full knowledge or a revelation of Christ, but actually, if I'm honest, I don't have a clue. Christ, may I get to know you better this year. Who would like to get to know Christ better this year? Who would like to get to know themselves a bit better this year? Not too much, but just maybe a tad. But do that with Christ, otherwise it can go pear. So get to know Christ better, as we get to also know ourselves better. So this year, the truth that we're going to share, you can go to the next slide, please, is that Jesus is enough. And last week, we started off by quickly saying, Christ has called us as a church community, saying, you need to be kingsmen redeemers. Check out and look out for those that are lost out there. Love on them. We need to be fishers of men, but what are we going to give them? We're going to give them life. What life? Christ's life. We don't have to give them a perfect auditorium and nice, perfect coffee. We don't have to dress this way or that way or act in certain ways that our culture demands of us. But no, we want to give them Christ and Christ alone. If they come here and they're hungry for the bread and for the water of life, then that is what we trust will be here. Not a subculture, not something to tickle the flesh, tickle the ears, keep them happy, but a John 6, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot have a part of me. So that's our campaign. That's how Jesus built church. He freaked people out. Now, we don't want to freak them out, but we want to be honest and we want to be truthful. And we ourselves need to live a truthful Christ-like life. Are you doing that, Retief? No, I'm not. But I'm in the process. I want to be satisfied with one bread and one bread alone. I want to be satisfied with the water of life and nothing else. And so we said to one another last week already, we need encounters with God. We need not play church. We need not play religion. We need not do these things meticulously and tick boxes. We want to and need to encounter the Lord. I quickly shared about how I went to Vida before our first service last week, Sunday. And I said to the Lord, I can do, and I can, by now, I can kind of put a sermon together. But what I need is I need to connect with Him more than I need to do a sermon. Eyes closed, can quickly put a set together and run through worship without connecting with Jesus. And it will look like it. But there's a different place where when your hand just gets into the throne room, where he gets into the inner room and he gets face down, and when Christ walks in and touches his life, where God speaks, rhema to his spirit, man, and then he comes and stands here. It's a totally different story. And that's what I'm alluding to. That's what I'm saying. Hey guys, let's not settle. Before we move out, before we love on, before we go do, let's encounter the real source of life. Have you encountered the Lord this week? Have you? It's not a tick box exercise. But have you? And if you've not encountered the Lord this week, I want to encourage you. Let's stir up a hunger to encounter Him this week coming. We're going to stay on the same page this week, but we shared last week, Luke 24. Two things was applicable there. It was just after the crucifixion and the burial. I said for some of us, 2018 felt like that. Things had died. It was a bit of a mess. I don't know. That's what I read through it. And as I sat in Vida, the Lord just revealed to me, or just came in. He just encountered me, and I was so blessed by it. And He just dropped word in my heart that you can test, but that I can take home. And that is that this will be a season of resurrections. So that was the first thing I took out of Luke 24. This year will be a year of resurrections. Who's got an area of their life that they need resurrections in? We certainly all do. And the second thing is that I believe we need to be a burning people. And what is a burning people? A burning people is those that are on fire with Christ and in Christ. The Emmaus disciples You'll see there in Luke 24:32 says, "So they said to each other, weren't our hearts ablaze within us while he was talking with us on the road and explaining the scriptures to us?" They didn't even know it was Christ, but afterwards they realized, man, ek was aan die brand. My heart was burning. And so, we quickly shared a couple of thoughts. Here's the seven things, just quickly, it's not on the board. But we said, hey guys, we need a true connection with God firstly and foremostly. Let's not play church. Let's not mimic Christianity. Let's have a relationship with Christ. Who knows that that's not always possible? Who's been married for a number of years? Who knows that you can wing marriage? You can wing it. You can wing it, for the lack of a better term. But sometimes you can wing marriage or you can wing friendship without a solid, true, authentic connection for a while. And then you start seeing the fruit of that. Come on, let's be honest. In friendship, you can wing it. Hi, more, nah. Cheers. And so you go on for a couple of days. And then you start seeing the fruit of that. And likewise, let's have true connections with each other, but first and foremostly with God. Let's not fake it. All right, because you won't make it. Secondly, you need to prioritize connection in encounter. Who has prioritized encountering God this year, this last week? It's a couple of people. Again, it's not a tick box exercise, but we're challenging one another, saying, you're not going to encounter Him unless you make space. As you will not encounter your spouse unless you make space and take time, especially if you've got three kids. Be intentional. Kids can see through our intentions. Yes, let's put on the TV, etc. Our kids can see through our intentions very quickly. Are we truly connecting or not? Likewise, God. You come to church, He knows the intentions. If it sucks, it's okay. Just apologize. Say, Lord, I apologize. I'm here because Piet het my gesleep. I'm here because I'm on duty. I need to serve the Lord. That's why I'm here. We all know that. No, let's be intentional. I said, don't settle. If you want to encounter God, you need to take risks. Sometimes you'll be in a coffee shop. God wants to encounter you. And now it's either fear of man, fear of God. Fear of man, fear of God. God wants to encounter a friend. It's in public or it's in church or whatever the case may be. And now you need to step out. You need to take risk for encounters. For yourself and for others. Are you willing to take risk for encounters? Who of the men amongst us, in pursuing your wife that you currently have, praise God, who didn't take a bit of risk in going after her? I was still in Stellenbosch. I was a student. I took a lot of risk. Some of you have done stupid things in pursuing. And will we pursue? Will we do stupid things? Will we take risks of obedience to pursue the presence of God and encounter Him? Because what? If I don't encounter Him, what have I have to give anybody else? If I haven't encountered the Lord this week, what do I have to give you? I have nothing to give you. Nothing in and of myself. We need to stay close to the fire, and I said the last one was fire falls on sacrifice. In other words, if you want to encounter, you want to encounter your wife, your friend, if you want a really good small group that's running, if you want a good friendship in church, out of church, at work, it takes sacrifice. Relationships takes sacrifice. Now today we're going to quickly stay on the same page. We're just going to take it from another angle. Today's first point is one and only. Now, just quickly, before we look at the scripture, I referred to it last week, but we're going to just take it, dissect it a bit this week. Before I do that, who's noted, maybe one or two or three of you without looking up that's older, who's noted over the last couple of decades that the tempo and the pace of life has really picked up? Is that so? Dominique, you're not that old, but thank you very much. Dominique said, ja, ik werk voor die kerk. She didn't say that, I said that, it was just a joke. Please help out Dominique. But the bottom line is there's just so much to do. We lived in Malmesbury, you know, for about 5 years, but just the culture and the subcultures and even the church and church subcultures of Malmesbury compared to here is totally different. We're a smaller church congregation in this context, but even in this place, the tagging, the need, the draw, the want is so much more than, what is it now, 8, 9 years back. Who of you felt that, have felt lately that everybody wants something of me? Anybody? Who's got children? You should be, your hand should be up right now. Yeah, it happened. Who's teachers? You should put your feet up as well. Not like feet up, but feet up. There's a constant draw, and the tempo is just crazy. Just to do the basic things and to pay the basic things in life is quite hectic. The costs and expense of life is crazy. So it's this constant battles that we have. So how do we simplify? How do you simplify? Or does anybody have a hunger to simplify their life? Even the young guns, like, yeah, it's a bit. Like, get kids. No, I said simplify. How are we going to simplify? Let's just chat. How are you simplifying your life? Edna? Sorry? Prioritize, yes. Thanks, Liefie. Ek sien daai een. Nummer 2. In case you were wondering. Prioritize. God's number one, by the way, if you were wondering. Prioritize. What else? What can we do to simplify our life? Say no. Say no, yes. Spiritually led, no's. And spiritually led, yeses. It's coming from a pastor now. Anything else? How do you want to simplify? Get rid of clutter. Yes. Get rid of clutter. I got rid of clutter, and now one of our vehicles can fit into the garage. Just imagine. Well, get a mentor. Yes, absolutely. It needs to be the right one. Yes, absolutely. Focus on needs, not wants. It's also good. Anything else? Any way in which you have found to simplify your life? I've noted that to simplify my life is not as much the battle and the stuff around me, it's the stuff inside of me. Because I can be a minimalist and walk into one of these tijdschrift, like one of these magazine type of homes that you'll get in Clifton, like this pad, just beton here, beton daar, glass in a bed. Like I can walk in there, but my innermost being is in total turmoil and I cannot have rest. By the way, the price is paid off as well. But I cannot rest in my soul. It might look like a very simple life and I've got this nice groomed dog and I've got a nice Jeep Wrangler or whatever the case may be. But if I'm not simplifying my inner heart and my mind, that minimalistic, paid off, nice fat credit card type lifestyle that you get in the magazines is worth nothing at all. So it's a battle of the inner man that we need to fight to simplify. Let's see how we can simplify with the Lord this year in context of Christ that is enough. Let's look at scripture. Martha and Mary, you know the story. While they were traveling, he entered the village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks and she came up and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand." Go to the next slide. The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, 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 you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. One thing is necessary." Can I just quickly define simplicity or simplifying your life? One thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice and it will not be taken away from her. The ESV says, "But one thing is necessary." Mary has chosen the good portion. You can go to the next slide. I love looking at a couple of these key verses in different translations. But the Lord replied to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered and anxious about many things." Who came to church this morning in that state? Don't have to raise your hand. But only one thing is necessary. I want to say, hey guys, guess what? You're here in His presence. Only one thing is necessary. You're like, oh, it doesn't compute. Some people would say, "You're Tordijk." It's like, I don't know. It's like our screen this morning. It just does not work. It's like one thing, but it's the flesh and the spirit at battle. But only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, that which is to her advantage, which will not be taken away from her. And then the message says it also beautifully. The master said, "Martha, dear Martha, You're fussing for too much. I believe the Lord wants to say to some of us this morning, you're fussing for too much. And getting yourself worked up over nothing. Who of you get yourself worked up over nothing? Yeah, well, one thing only is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It's the main course, and it won't be taken away from her. Can anybody relate with Martha? I think there's a bit of a Martha and a Mary in both of us. And they're at battle. But luckily, Christ calls the shots. And in our culture, I think this is so applicable. If we want to say, yo, cute, let's get a t-shirt, Jesus is enough, we need to be real. Do we have Mary moments? We had a Mary moment way back. There was Mary, the mother of Jesus. Today it's different. We're looking at Mary from Bethany. That is the sister of, obviously, of Martha. But we can definitely relate, and we need to choose to have these Mary moments where we say no to stuff. Let's dissect the scripture just quickly a little bit. Work with me in the process. Think with me and let the Spirit convict us and the Spirit empower us to be more like Mary and less like Martha. Who's a Martha here? Just, let's be honest. Bit of a Martha. We've got a bit of a Martha tinge to us. Yes, it can happen. Who's a Mary? Couldn't care less. Same people. Praise God. Amen. The thing is, she did care. She cared about the right stuff. While they were traveling, you can go to the next slide. Thank you. While they were traveling, he entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. So Martha's busy. She's doing the nice things. She's very hospitable. And then when Christ preaches, was it Christ on his own? He had an entourage, disciples. And he didn't only have the 12, came 11. He had more than that. So it might have been a number of people that just rocks up at your home. Who'd freak out? Edna's hand is up. Eerste. Janie. Jesus is genoeg. Nou is het nog die disciples ook nog. Gits. Moenie met die Mary goed kom nie. Geef my die servette aan. I can just see it in any Afrikaans home. It's just total chaos. She had a sister named Mary. Die klein Mary. Can you believe it? Who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. Who gets offended on behalf of Martha? Who's ever read this and got offended on behalf of Martha? Come on. Come on, all of us. And there's so many contexts, I'm not going to make church jokes about it, but there's so many contexts where we get this. Like, just comes in, sit down at his feet, just enjoys and la-di-da out of here, and then I just need to do everything type of way. So we all get these contexts, either in family, you all think of, just forgive them. We get these places in our life. But I believe Christ says, hey man, do you want what is necessary? Do you want the one thing that is eternal? Do you want to choose the right part? Do you want life? Do you want simplicity? I give you the key. Now firstly, it was so beautiful that Mary sat down. She wasn't standing. Yo, Jesus, okay, Jesus, but what is it? Please speak to me. I need to go put something in the oven. She sat down. And so I believe the scripture calls you to sit down. Again, you can walk into your minimalistic, nice Clifton pad that's paid off. Lie on that bed, but your heart is not sitting down. Your soul is not at rest. Who's been on holiday lately, but your soul wasn't on rest the whole time? Who didn't sit down? Often, you go on holiday, but your heart cannot sit down. Because your heart is frantically going on to and fro, like Martha. There was a stillness that Mary had. So we need to sit down. There needs to be a stillness. There was a seeking. And the fact that you sat at his feet, what do you think does that imply for us? What does that imply? Surrender and humble. Yes. She was surrendered. Often we come and we've got our agendas, we've got our plans. Lord, I know how this is going to work, but I just need your stamp. I just need your rubber stamp of approval, please. And we're standing and saying that. Here's the memo. Are you with me or not? And he's like, no. You just sit your memo down. You just humble down that memo and you sit at my feet. And he will never force you because that's why we've been given free will. But just think about the way in which this world is constantly going for more and more and more and more and never being satisfied. He He says, no, no, lay down those memos. Lay down those lies. Come and sit. Second thing that you can read from what she had done is she was attentive. In other words, she sought connection. She didn't settle for anything less. She sought connection. What is the word they say? She had a sister named Mary who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. So before she could listen and hear, she had to sit down. So she sat down and then she could hear. Now it's by God's grace, and often on the run we hear his voice. Who constantly hear the Lord's voice, especially mothers? You, by the grace of God, you hear his voice on the run, but I don't think that's the norm. If you still your heart, if you sit down your heart first, if you sit down your inner man first, you can hear so much more attentively. Who's seen that? If you put down all those religious facades and tick box exercises and wanting to perform for him and just say, bah, here I am, sit down. Then he speaks into your heart. So she could hear him, and as she was sitting at his feet, a peace was over that part of the house, right? Sitting at his feet, being attentive, listening to him, hearing his voice, I believe there was a peace. Yes, yet anxiety went on in the kitchen, probably around Martha. Now, I would liken this to the spirit versus the flesh. Let's go on to verse 40. You can go to the next slide, please. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. Who in this place does not have many tasks? Who of you do not have many tasks? Okay. That's a good point, Stephen. I can explain his context later. But ironically enough, I believe that's part of the Lord's plan in his life and testing in his season. But say for Stephen, the rest of us are thinking up jobs for Stephen. Now, the rest of us have many tasks. Who's had 3 kids lately? Exactly. 3 is not a crowd, but still it keeps you busy. You have many tasks. You have many, many tasks. Throw a church in there with a bit of emotional need and a bit of spiritual need now and again. It gets crazy. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. And she came up and asked, Lord, don't you care? It's weird. Why Jesus? He was just sitting there minding his own business, being Jesus. Now he gets scolded. Why don't you care, Jesus? I would have said, why doesn't Mary care? But no, no, no. It just shows how the Antichrist often comes and attacks the Lord. So we might as Christians screw up, but yeah, why is God not doing this, that, and the other? Because his sons and daughters are not acting. But anyway, that's a sermon for another day. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Why don't you care that my sister's left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand. So here's Martha on the other hand. What do you notice of Martha? Anything that you notice in Scripture of Martha? What do you see? Except yourself. Just a joke. What do you see? Sorry? Resentment. Yeah. Ah, resentment. That's a good one. Offense. Yes. Impatience. Distracted. What else do you see? Out of focus? Accusing. Yes. Out of focus, accusing. I love all of these. Resentment. Offense. Sorry? Victim. I love that. Victim mentality. Yes. She throws her toys. What else do you see about her and her circumstances? Busyness. She's plain well distracted. In other words, her inner world is being influenced by her outer world and the stuff that she needs to do. What I saw that, ironically enough, who was she doing all this stuff for? For the Lord. And she gets ticked off. She hardens her heart. She's been doing this to impress and to be hospitable towards the Lord and his disciples. And she's blaming the Lord for it. Yes. So she's busy with the to-dos without connecting the one that she actually does it for. Who said it that, Lord, the work that I'm doing for you is killing your work in me? In other words, the miracle that you've done in my life is being killed and broken down because of the way in which I'm serving you. It's like, huh? Yes. It's been the focus shift from the person
and the personhood and the encountering of Christ and reminding yourself of why you are here, why you are worshiping Him, beholding His beauty, keeping your wonder, dreaming on, having faith to where you need to do and do and do and do and do. It is sonship versus slavery. It is spirit versus flesh. It's all it is. And we all need to fight this battle because the flesh and the spirit is constantly at loggerheads with one another. Let's move on. You are distracted by many tasks. Fear leads us to be distracted. No, fear, let me rephrase that. Fear makes us to do things to survive. So out of fear of dying, you do certain things so that you can eat and live and drink and be protected to survive. Yet God says, no, I've got a different way. I want to protect you. I want to lead you. I want to provide for you, but on my terms. And so the flesh says, no, but I've got this sorted. And the spirit says, no, yield and trust God. God might lead you then, obviously, to get the job, but with an anointing, with a blessing. But still, if the next month your salary and job gets taken away, your foundation is that God is my provider, not the job and what I do. Not my performance. Not the fruit of my hands, first and foremostly, but God. And that, come, let's be honest, that is a lifelong struggle for every human being. Because what? Nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to live. It is, am I going to live as a son of God, trusting Him, yielding and laying my life at His feet and then being obedient to what He says? Or am I going to fight my own fight? Because what if He slips up? I'm not going to eat and then I'm going to die. What if He doesn't give the job? If He doesn't bring through the 100 grand? What if He doesn't? And that's the flesh. And so slavery that we see is rampant in our modern Western culture. Can I get an amen? And sonship are at loggerheads and fight with one another. And it took me 5 years, and it sometimes takes me there again to let go of the system of the world going to protect me and safeguard me, to let go and to obediently follow the Lord in what He's called me to do. Not everybody, by the way, am I saying, is called for full-time ministry. You need to do what the Lord calls you to do. But in my case, in Malmesbury, I had to sit on my behind for 3.5 years and wait. Say no to 3 jobs. Because I need to get this principle. I needed to get the nuts and the bolts of Matthew 6 into my heart. I was a Martha. You can ask Edna. There is nothing as irritating probably as Retief without something to do. In Malmesbury, without money. Because what? My natural instinct was thinking, I need to fix this mess. Sometimes God leads you into a mess because He wants to restore what is inside of you. He wants to say, I am God. Are you going to trust me? Are you willing to sit at my feet for 3.5 years? Are you willing? Do you believe that I can provide for you? Please don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that we're called not to work. We're called not to provide. I'm not saying that. But it's the foundation from which we work. Is it from sonship or is it from slavery? Is it from the spirit or is it from the flesh? Is it from faith or is it from fear? Is it from Mary or is it from Martha? We're going to be kingsmen redeemers or are we going to be fishers of men? Is it because Retief's going to drive this thing and ask, Rihanna, wanneer laat het jy iemand naar die Here toe gelei? Or is it going to be from faith, from what she experienced, from Christ in her, the hope of glory that's just going to burn into a family, burn into her neighbors, burn into a community. And so Mary and Martha battles are very evident. Just quickly, Luke 12, it says, just applicable where it comes with provision. And here, I've been tested so much. The equivalent is in Matthew 6, but Luke 12 says, do not worry. It speaks to the Martha generation. It speaks to a Martha spirit, if I may say that. Do not worry. Then Jesus said to His disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. How often do we worry more about what we will eat physically than have we had any good food spiritually? Verse 23, for life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap, they have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Very simple question. If God should take away your job now and all of your savings and all of your assets, will He look after you? Very simple question. It's a fearful place to think about sometimes. And if anxiety attacks you when you think about it, go face that place. Please. You don't have to literally go there unless Christ calls you, but go spiritually. Just say, Lord, this thing is fearful. It's fearful to think I don't have a job. It's fearful to think I don't have a place to stay and I've lost everything. I've lost my inheritance. I've lost everything materially and worldly spoken. Lord, it's fearful. I'm anxious. And that thing actually drives me. Show me how to face it without preferably going through it. But unfortunately, sometimes He does take you through it. Face it. Just face it. That you will not succumb to that fear. Anyway, that was just an extra. Verse 25. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In other words, you can't sit on your laurels. You cannot do nothing. What is your work? The disciples ask Jesus, what's the work of God? What's the work of God? What is the work of God? Do you know? Word says that you believe in the Son whom He has sent. It doesn't say 9 to 5. And again, I'm not knocking 9 to 5. I'm just going against the principle, an attitude in our midst, maybe, and in our culture, that God is not a provider. He says, what is the work? To believe in the Son of God. To have faith takes effort. To have faith is like working. And that 3.5 years at home, waiting on the Lord, shouting out, I'd learned to pray. I learned to cry and I learned to pray. And I learned to worship. I learned to worship. There's moments, encounter moments in those 3.5 years in Malmesbury without employment where I got to know God in a way that I could never have gotten to know Him in any other way. And I had to go face the mountains. I had to go face the giants and say, well, kids, if there's no money in my bank account, I'm actually okay. I want to say, if there's no money in your bank account, you're actually going to be okay. But don't get caught out there without faith. Don't get caught out there without the Scripture. Don't get caught out there without a rhema word. For it is work to walk in faith. But it's not a work of the flesh, it's a work of the Spirit. Moving on quickly, Luke 10:41 says, the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you were worried and upset about many things. Let's be less upset. Want to simplify? Kom ons worry minder. But one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice. Other translations says, has chosen the good part, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, what is the good part? Obviously, the one thing is Jesus Christ. You're like, but that's like, how do you get handles to it? Turn to Him. At least turn to Him. How are you going to have that Mary moment at His feet? You're going to have to make time. You need to decide. Lord, I've got a million of things to do. There's 10,000 people that want stuff from me. In Malmesbury, those 3.5 years. Do you know the pressures of culture, especially in a place like Malmesbury, being Afrikaans, having a beard and be called Retief Ace, the pressures of cultures on you to have a bloody job. It's near a grap. It couldn't have been sketched any other words. Maybe Venter's door, but other than that, it couldn't have been more countercultural ever. So what is he doing? Drinking coffee. Who drinks coffee? He's young. Go get a job. I'm waiting on the Lord, Wim. You understand what I'm saying? It takes that effort where you need to say, Lord, I want your way. Help me, Lord. Christ, you're enough. And then Christ starts showing Himself to you through Scripture. Manifesting Himself, encountering you. I was in such a dark place at one stage and friends from Cape Town came through. He says, I've got a word for you. And he just starts prophesying. Don't even call all the words. He prophesied against the identity lies because I was feeling like an absolute loser. The biggest loser that ever been. Followed God to another dorp and then loses everything. That kind of feels like a bit of a loser. And he comes and he prophesies, boom, boom, boom. Stuff that God is saying, that I cried like a baby. God says, here's truth. You're not defined by culture. You're not defined by other people's fear. Let other people's fear not define who you are. And I want to say, guys, the culture that we live in, the fear of this culture that drives and drives and drives everybody, why is it defining you? Go get your identity at the feet of Jesus. It is the one thing. And it's worth it. It is worth it. John 14:6 says, Jesus answers, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the totality. Not being a director of a law firm, Retief. I am the totality. It might include that I make you a director of a law firm. It wasn't the case to be for me. Psalm 16:5 says, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. It's nice to read it. It's a different thing to live it. But then you realize it and see it. For you are my portion and my cup. Psalm 27:4. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is only what I do seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gaze at the beauty of the Lord and seek Him in His temple. And John 6:27, just another confirmation of the one thing that we need, that we need to encounter every day. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, will give you, will give you. Guys, yeah, maybe a testimony for another day. For on Him, God the Father has placed the seal of approval. You don't have to perform, be anxious, work for approval anymore. You have approval, but you need to believe it. And from approval, you do not have to perform as a slave to earn, to eat. You can eat because you're a son and a daughter. Can I get an amen? Amen. I don't want to squeeze an amen. I can if I want to. But I want an affirmation in the Spirit. Getting to the feet of Christ, hearing His voice is an everyday matter. It's a heart condition. Am I going to bow down? Am I going to be a slave? Or am I going to start from His feet? Do you stay at His feet forever? No, I believe you get up in obedience and you do as He leads you to do. You don't get saved, get a pina colada and chill on the beach until the boat to heaven comes and fetches you. There's lots to do, but it's the way, the foundation, and the place from which we do that. Quick thoughts on encounters with Christ that I believe is important for us to take home. Why is the presence of God and encountering God for me so important? Because there's such a joy. Who's been in love? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Chan. But bless you, sir. We've been in love. Fall in love with Jesus. This morning I just sensed, like, as I said, that moment where I believe, man, I think I'm addicted to you. I believe, Christ, I think I'm falling in love with you again. It sounds strange. Shouldn't a pastor always be in love? There should probably be, but you're not always. But hey, grasp the joy of His presence again. And if other stuff seems to be feel better or look better, it's just because your spirit man's empty and dry. That's all. Because believe you me, there's nothing better out there. Christ is the only ecstasy. The real godly eternal one. That is life. Zoe life. Second thought that I need to leave with us so that we will move from Christ's feet into life, that we'll move from encounter, that we'll not get stuck in religion, but that we'll be relational, 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 is that at His feet, Mary showed us the path of peace. Martha tried to do everything and do everything right. And she probably put up a good spread at the end of the day and everybody had their full. But Mary had peace. Her inner world was at peace because Christ had led her there. Who sat at His feet and were able to listen. Isaiah 6 verse 9 refers to Christ and His many names and then says He's the Prince of Peace. Guys, daily I want to invite you to sit at the feet of the Prince of Peace. If you're actively striving, goal-driven, having to perform, I need to get there, be there, be there, be there, but it does not come with peace. You're not in and with and partnering with the Prince of Peace. Stop what you're doing. Stop it. Stop it and say, okay, Lord, help me out of this. Stop it. because it's killing the work of the Lord in your life, and it's not going to reap good fruit. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You know the rest of the scripture. Just finish, want to quickly finish these couple of thoughts. It's the path to peace, but it's also the path to perspective. You can go to the next one. It's the path to godly perspective, to see right. So I might rock up and come to church and think, my head is all full of nonsense now because I've been in the world for 6 days and I haven't been in the Word. I didn't fellowship. I didn't pray in tongues. I didn't worship at all. So now I get to church and I'm like, I feel like an alien here, not an alien in the world. And then Christ comes and washes us clean. He encounters you, Spirit. And all of a sudden it's like, preach it, brother. Yes, my heart is blij. Dit brand weer. I get perspective again. I can see again. If you get confused, it just means you need to get with His eyes again. Christ, what are you seeing? My flesh is seeing a total mess. What are you seeing? I see resurrections coming. I see resurrections coming. Okay, cool, Lord. That sounds good. Stir my heart, Lord. I want to see resurrections coming. Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh desires that is contrary to the Spirit, and those are contrary to each other. They conflict each other, it says. And so we need to fight those battles. Number four, sitting at His feet and encountering Jesus, as Mary did, is a path to faith. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by the hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you lack faith? Hear His voice. That all translations, but that word there for hearing, or the word, apologies, is rhema word. That is the one that echoes or ramas or stirs up and stands up in your spirit. The one that is God's voice unto you in that moment, that is rhema. So if you say, Lord, I have no faith, I want to encourage you, do not settle. Say, Lord, I'm going to sit my behind down at your feet. I'm going to humble myself and say, Lord, I don't have peace and I don't have faith. Please speak. Where do we start? You open up the word. You start reading until you hit the waters. And you're like, oh, boom, this is speaking to me. You just sit at that well. Let that well water your spirit, man. Let it fill you up. Let faith arise. It's like, man, I've got faith for South Africa. Praise God, I've got faith for the Booker. Lord, I love my neighbors. Jesus, thank you for my church. And then you're like, good, you've got faith again. You've heard His voice. I've got faith again for my children. I've got faith again for my calling. Hear what He says. Fifth thing that we learn from these encounters is it's the path to real survival. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added. It's not the other way around. Stop running after the added things. Stop running after the menial things. Go to the one good thing, Jesus Christ, and the rest shall be added. I've just noticed that lately. I'm like, you'll see people in the world, they've got a massive pension, but they'll constantly tell you it's not enough. It's not enough. And then you get somebody that's their age with no pension. And they have got so much peace. And you're like, Lord, how is this possible? How is this possible? And it's just in the world, you don't understand the ways of security in the Lord. You don't understand. I'm not saying, by the way, you don't have to have pension. That's not what I'm saying. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm saying it's a mindset. It's what is going on in that person's inner heart being, saying, I'm not going to survive, even though they've got 30 million rand. Yet somebody else that's got enough for today, they're at peace. Moving on. Second last thing. Moving from the feet of the Lord, going to sit there, is often countercultural and counterintuitive. So your flesh wants to go perform, your flesh wants to go sort out stuff, and the Lord says, no, come to my rest first. Before you move into the new season, come to me first. And so that's for all of us. In time of Malmesbury, I had to do that. Go sit at the feet of the Lord first. I had to be glued. I needed to be stuck. I needed to be hammered down at His feet first before I could move again. But it was countercultural. It was frowned upon. We've got off days on Fridays. You can ask Edna. There's a constant attack on that to actually take a Sabbath. Okay, but I choose to not do stuff on this day, because I choose to honor God and fear Him and not you. I'm not speaking to anybody specific, hear my heart. I'm speaking to a way of the flesh, and I'm speaking of the way of the culture. I need a Sabbath. Otherwise, in 3 weeks' time, you ain't going to get nothing out of me. If I don't choose the one, I've got nothing to give to you, but it's countercultural. Encounters and moments at his feet comes with different economics. Comes with different economics. Doesn't make sense. It's like tithing. Who's ever had not enough money, and yet the Lord calls you to tithe, and then stuff just works out? Amen. Often I've seen that. Often I've heard that testimony. The kingdom economics does not equate and does not work in this life and age. But we need to decide, am I going to be a Martha? And this is not only finance, it's time included. Am I going to be a Martha or am I going to be a Mary? Because the economics is different. You can go read, I don't have time for it now. But you know, this is the same Mary that anointed Jesus' feet. In John 12, you can go read there. Then Mary took a pound of fragrant oil. It was more than a year's wages of perfume that this same Mary that sat at his feet took later on and anointed his feet. Judas there turned around and said, this could have been given to the poor, but it was actually just hard-hearted. So she had a different economics. She did math a totally different way. Are you doing mathematics the way heaven does mathematics? I'm asking you. Are you doing time, money, heart, effort, future? Are you doing the mathematics and economics of heaven, of scripture, or of culture? And it's not a hard word. It's a challenge that I'm facing every single day, and I need to decide. Why don't I believe God can do a massive miracle today? I see destruction, I hear about destruction, but I believe I serve a God of resurrection. God has called us lately to buy something that in the world's eyes we cannot afford. But God clearly has spoken through a council of many, not just council of my flesh. And so now I need to walk that out. But you're called to walk that out by faith, trusting God and not trusting upon the economics of this age. Mary did it, so will you. Encounters, lastly, praise God. You can stand with me, but listen. Please stand and listen. Encounters leads to faith, we've said. But that faith also leads to power, boldness, and courage. What do we need if we truly want to say to Pete, hey Pete, Jesus is your answer. Do I need a pamfletie? Maybe sometimes a pamfletie is a goeie ding. Do I need a traktaikie? Maybe sometimes a traktaikie is a goeie ding. I don't know what a traktaikie in Engels is. Yes, that thing. No! We need faith. We need fire. We need boldness. And what? We need authentic testimonies. We can't fake it. If we need to fake it, we'd rather just shut up. And we wait for the power to come. There we have it. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. If ever you should come to my funeral way in the future, and I do have a tombstone, I would love this to be written on my tombstone. We knew that he had been with Jesus. Huh? What an awesome thing to say. This morning I was just challenged. I had very little time to prepare, and so this morning I actually should have prepared, and Christ said, no, you just sit. And so I sat for about an hour, just sat. But as I sat, every minute was as if the intensifying presence of God just grew and grew and grew. And at 5:50, I was like, I don't care anymore. I can go now. I don't have to look at my notes. I'm just so full of His presence now. Just constantly, just focusing, just being at His feet. Because He is the all-powerful. He is the almighty. He is the all-fiery and all-loving and all-faithful one. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that Christ indeed is enough. Thank you, Lord, that we may not be a people of intelligent speech or knowledge or this, that, and the other, Lord. May we not be known for that unless necessary. But may we be known for this. That bunch of people has been with Jesus. Not with a subcultural, diluted form of, but a scriptural, holy spiritual Jesus. They've been with Him. Not only collectively, but individually. They've encountered Him. They're just different. And Lord, may we be that people. May we choose, because it's a choice, daily choose for Mary moments. Say, now I humble myself again. I say no to fear. I say no to anxiety. I say no to dead religious works. And I sit at your feet. And from that place, may we be empowered to say yes to every good work that you've prepared for us, both in this church, out of this church, through this church, in our families, through our families, and out of our families, Lord. We pray that. We say, God is the God. God is spirit. And for where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So I just speak freedom over us. Freedom to follow. Freedom to encounter. But also freedom not to live for ourselves, to live for Christ unto others. Wholeheartedly, on fire, in power, in boldness, and by grace. By grace. By grace. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.